Hey, it's Holden Kushner, Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network. Boy, do I have a fun show set up for you today. We're going to talk a lot about the Nuggets as they head into Game 3 on Friday night in Phoenix against the Suns, looking to go up with a death knell, 3-0. We've got Embiid over Joker for the MVP. Some strong thoughts on that one. The Broncos still have some needs, no doubt about it, after the draft. And then we've got a Rocky survey from the Denver Post, which is awfully fun. I'll just say that. But let's get right into this before we get to Spread a Stare from Run Pure Bets, as he's going to give us our best bet for the Nuggets and the Suns, Game 3. Embiid over Joker for MVP. So first of all, I told you at the beginning of the year that the voters would not award Joker the MVP for the third time in a row. They just don't do it. They just didn't do it again. Second of all, imagine getting bent out of shape about this. In all seriousness, the Philly fans on Twitter were absolutely insufferable. I'm starting to see it a little bit from the Nuggets fans as well, but how do you get bent out of shape about this? The Joker doesn't even care about winning another MVP. People here are furious that one voter left Joker off the ballot. Okay, big deal. Big deal. We don't take a guy's voting privileges away because he's a donkey. And I think that voters should not have their names published with the vote. I really don't. And a lot of people want everybody in every single sport. These writers, these broadcasters, whoever votes, they should be outed. We should know their vote. I don't like it. You won't get all the guys and girls voting for their own thoughts. You know, they might play into the masses and vote for the popular choice. Whoever didn't vote for Joker on the ballot, maybe he would have changed his vote if his name was out there. But I still think, all in all, there's no reason to release these guys' names. And then you've got hate mail to them. It's ridiculous. And they're not going to give their own thoughts. And I think I see it in the Hall of Fame. You know, there's some voters just don't give their own thoughts. They're playing to the masses. I've actually talked with a Hall of Fame voter in baseball. And he said he screwed up a vote on his ballot because of fan pressure. He goes, I wish I had not voted for this player. But the fans, you know, I didn't want them knowing that I was the guy that left him off. So that's an interesting point too. And then I just can't get upset about an MVP vote when our guy, Jokic, he said he's going swimming when they did the announcement on Tuesday. Think about that for a second. That's how much Joker cares about this. And if he doesn't care, I don't care. Now, here's what bothered me. The Philadelphia fans all season long, and this happened last year too, they just get personal and they degrade Joker's accomplishments instead of celebrating Joel Embiid's accomplishments. They're just the worst to deal with. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Philly fans, just insufferable. Let me rephrase that. Philly fan Twitter, just insufferable. I know a lot of people from Philadelphia and they're absolutely great people. And I'm being serious about that. But the two knocks on Embiid for MVP, here they are. Number one, his advanced stats were not as good as Joker's once again. Well, his player efficiency rating, they were basically the same. Joker, 3.78 to Embiid's 3.69. It's almost a complete wash there. So for those of you that are saying, well, the Joker was a lot better, he does a lot more things for this team. And then last year, do you remember this? Oh, the Nuggets, you know, they weren't really a good team. So why does he deserve to be MVP? And then this year, he's on the best team in the West. Oh, you know, Joker's on the best team. He doesn't deserve it. Stay consistent, people. Please stay consistent. So again, I'm not going to get upset about this. Philly Twitter, completely insufferable. And they just take this personally over the past 2 years. And I'm glad I don't see as much of that out of Nuggets Twitter. But stop taking shots at the Joker. The guy is the best player in basketball. You don't have to knock him down for whatever reason. And I'll just say this. The one thing I wish we knew all the voters from the NBA MVP voting, but I'm glad that we don't. But I do wish I knew where Kendrick Perkins was going. Was he the guy that left Joker off the ballot? He said he had a Hall of Fame vote. He said he had a vote for the MVP. Was it Kendrick Perkins that left the Joker off the ballot? I don't know. It's the one thing I'd like to see, but we're not going to see it. Now, when Embiid was on the court this season, the Sixers won almost 2/3 of their games. He only played 66 games, so that's a massive knock on him. And this is the big problem with Joel Embiid. I'm a Kansas graduate. I saw this guy his freshman year. He was a project, but you knew he was going to be a great player, but he couldn't stay on the floor. He'd missed the tournament. He missed half the season, it seems like, and he misses a lot of games. Now, he only played 66. Again, only Bill Walton played fewer games in an MVP season. That being said, again, when he was on the court, they won 2/3 of their games. He had 119 offensive rating, a 110 defensive rating, and that would have ranked first and second if he averaged that in a full season. Problem was, he didn't. He missed 16 games. So that's the knock you can give on Embiid. Congrats to Joel Embiid on winning the MVP as the third most valuable player in the league. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. I still think the Joker deserved it, but they weren't going to give him three in a row. And I'd love to see the Nuggets and the Sixers in the finals and have the Joker outplay Embiid and the Nuggets win in a sweep. How awesome would that be? Now, let's get the Nuggets to win a championship so everybody here in the great state of Colorado is happy. And the road to the championship continues on Friday when Denver visits the Phoenix Suns. It's a night game. Of course, it's the late game. Up 2-0 in the series. Here are the odds on Bet Rivers. The Nuggets are 4-point dogs on the road. Plus 150 on the money line. 224.5 is the total. I'm really looking forward to digging in with Spread Astaire on these numbers because he's just such a great NBA handicapper. But here's my thoughts on this. First of all, Joker triple-double, 3-1, plus 300. I'm not messing with it anymore. He has dominated DeAndre Ayton, but are the assists going to be there? The Suns might be without Chris Paul because of a groin injury. That would be huge. Absolutely huge. But as we've seen throughout the regular season, we've got all of these stars sitting, and guess what happens? Their teams still win. Other guys step up. Now, the Suns are very good at home. Not as great as the Nuggets at home, but very good at home at 28-13. And the Nuggets, at best, a mediocre road team at 19-22. The difference in this series so far was Murray in game one, Joker in the first two games, and the Nuggets bench has been outstanding. We saw during the regular season these last few years, anytime Joker was off the court, they struggled. That is not the case right now. The bench has dominated the Suns bench. I got an interesting storyline on that one. So the Nuggets bench, Joker dominated so far, but the Suns are in desperation mode. And I expect KD to step it up and have a really big game. Now, I did not win the over points bet in game number two. He went 10 of 27 from the field. He's just a volume shooter. He hits two more of those, and he goes over the 27.5 points. He hits three more of those. He goes over 30 points, or at 30 points. So 10 of 27. I think Durant comes out, especially with if Chris Paul plays. And if he does, he could get re-injured again. The guy's old. He's got a groin injury. But I think Durant goes absolutely bananas in this game. They can throw everybody that they want at him. He's not going 10 of 27 again. I do see him shooting 25 shots. Durant over 28.5 points is a lot. Wouldn't be surprised if he gets to 30, but I feel comfortable. Durant over 28.5 points at minus 125. That's my favorite bet from this game. Now, let's go to my second favorite bet, which is very close to my favorite bet. Suns bench has been absolutely non-existent. Well, there's going to be an adjustment. This is what happens in a seven-game series. You get game one, there's an adjustment. Game two, an adjustment. Game three, another adjustment. Monty Williams, the head coach of the Suns, says Terrence Ross and TJ Warren could get more run in game three to provide more offense alongside Booker and Durant. And quote unquote, they'll live with whatever warts may come with that. You know what the warts are? Those two guys are black holes defensively. So a putrid defense up against the Nuggets. I think both teams are going to score, but I really feel good about the Nuggets going over their team total, which is a little, what is it, 3-4 points lower than the Suns. Nuggets team total over 110.5 at minus 113. So that's the second bet I have. As far as a side goes, if the line gets up to 5, I'll take the Nuggets since they have the Suns right where the number is right now, minus 4. If the line gets up to 5, I'll take the Nuggets. And live betting this thing, if the Suns come out hot and we could get 7 or 8 from the Nuggets, I love betting sides in game. It's really what I do. I rarely recommend betting a side pregame, but if I can get this number, 7, 8, hey, if it gets up 9 or 10, you bet live on feel a lot of times in the NBA and even in college basketball, I'm definitely going to hammer it. You know, this thing gets up above 5, above 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like I said, I'm going to back the Nuggets. They're not getting blown out in this game. So I think the Suns grab one game in Phoenix, but I think that game is going to be tonight and the Nuggets are going to grab game number 4. All year long, again, even with Chris Paul out, we've seen key players sit out for a team only to have that team victorious. Even if Paul sits out in game number 3, I have a heavy, heavy lean toward the Suns winning this game, although a closer game. All right, let's move on to the Broncos because the draft is over and George Payton is still going to be looking to make some moves, maybe in free agency, maybe a free agent he picks up. We'll find out. But after the draft ended, there was a couple of things that I looked at and I said, gosh, you know, they could really up things. And I'm going to start with edge rusher and defensive line, okay? Because they need depth. Baron Browning was very good last season, but as we all know, Randy Gregory cannot stay on the field. He just can't do it. And with Baron Browning, you know, has he proven enough that he's going to be a star going forward? I think so, but does he regress with the next year under him? Randy Gregory's not going to stay on the field. I highly doubt that's going to happen. So they did replace Draymond Jones with Zach Allen. So I like that. But ultimately, they need another body. One more body for an edge rusher. And I think that'd be nice. Now at safety, Denver with Justin Simmons. Like it a lot. You probably got Caden Stearns at the other starting spot. But again, here's another guy. Has to stay healthy. So maybe they bring Kareem Jackson back. He's 35 years old. They probably need another body at safety. And then last but not least, some would say it's running back. I think undrafted free agents, maybe one of those guys comes in. They got Samaje Perine. They've got a couple of Demario Crockett. Then there's Jones that they ended up picking up from the Saints. It's a Sean Payton guy. So there's enough bodies there. There's some concern at running back. I'm not there. I'm just not very concerned about that position at this point. So it'll be fine. Running back, anybody concerned about it? What are you going to do at this point too? Tell me that. What are you going to do? It's really guys off the scrap heap unless you want to bring in Kareem Hunt. And that'd be fine. But Javonte likely will come back this season, but he likely won't be the guy that we're used to. Okay. And then I want to get to the last spot though. I want to get to the last spot and that would be center. Lloyd Cushenberry, still big question mark there. I just don't think that they're going to be able to fill that spot. So ultimately edge rusher, offensive line, specifically center, safety. Those would be the positions that I think are of most need for the Broncos now after the big free agency period and the draft. Last but not least, we're taping this in the morning and the Colorado Rockies will have already played by the time this thing gets out there. So I'm not going to bring that up, but I do want to bring up something really interesting. The Denver Post Rockies fan survey. What are your thoughts about attending games at Coors Field? And I cannot tell you how many just diehard fans I've talked to that don't even go. They just boycott ownership. And we'll get to that in a moment. Average attendance down just a little bit, 28,000 after 13 home games. That'll pick up too once the weather warms up. It happens all the time. It happens every year, everywhere. But here we go. Compared to past seasons, this is from the Post. How likely are you to attend a Rockies game at Coors Field this season? 43%, 1,100, almost 1,200 votes, 44% says, I don't plan on going to any Rockies games. I don't know how many people are really steadfast about that, but they said that, and they had their lowest attendance in one game back in April, their lowest attendance like a decade. So that's big. Another 33% says they'll attend fewer games. So now we're sitting here over three quarters of the fans saying they're either not going or they're attending fewer games. 70%, about the same number. 5% they're going to attend more. And less than 1% said they'd never gone to a game. Coors Field's the best place to go watch a game. It's absolutely amazing. So the next question, what's your main reason for attending games at Coors Field? Now, the easy answer and the one that I thought would be number one would be it's a social event. Well, that was actually number three at 25%. It's a social event. It's a great social event. It's Denver's greatest singles bar. The number one answer from this was 34% saying they like watching Major League Baseball games in person. Cool. I get that. 29% Rockies are my hometown team. I support them win or lose. Then social event, 24-25%. I really thought that'd be higher. I thought that would probably be number two behind I like watching baseball games in person. And then there was I come to Coors Field to watch and root for the opposing teams. I'm a fan of individual players. Those two things added up to about 13%. Last but not least, actually, there's two more. If you no longer attend games at Coors Field, don't attend as many as you used to, what's the main reason? 82%, the Rockies' personnel decisions have made them a non-competitive team. They suck. They're awful. 82% of the attendance saying the reason why we don't go to as many games is because they stink. Well, maybe Dick Monfort, at some point in time, it's got to get through to him, right? But people just seem to be ending up at Coors Field, and it doesn't really matter what happens. 6% said the cost. 5% says the team's not entertaining. And that's about, actually 4% said they're not going downtown because they don't like downtown. So that's that. And then last but not least, how does your view of owner Dick Monfort affect your attitude toward the Rockies? And I think this is the biggest damning allegation against the Rockies that you can have. They say my support of the Rockies has declined because of ownership. That is 51% of the votes. Dick Monfort doesn't care. He's a billionaire. Probably not even checking out this poll. He doesn't care as long as people are coming through the gates, through the turnstiles. And they still are. Maybe the attendance will be down a little bit. They're still going to make a ton of money. They go, I no longer attend games at Coors Field as a protest toward ownership. So my support has declined because of ownership. 51%, another 30%. I no longer attend games at Coors because of a protest toward ownership. I do the math there. We're at about 88%. 10% say they don't. The ownership doesn't matter. And for some reason, 12 votes, 0.7% say they support the team because they have a solid owner. I think the Monfort family probably voted there. But listen, it's tough going out to Coors to watch a game. A lot of people go to go drinking at the sports, at the best singles bar. A lot of people go out to watch the other team or the other favorite players. And as long as that stadium is nice and as long as people are showing up and they're drinking and they're spending money on food and beer and parking, Dick Monfort does not give a damn about whether or not this team wins or loses. He would really like to see this team win, but he just has no clue what he's doing. Zippy, zero. I mean, go back. What the hell were they thinking letting Nolan Arenado walk and then signing Chris Bryant, who A, can't stay on the field, and B, stinks at Coors Field? I mean, I can't imagine. I cannot believe how mediocre he's been when he's been on the field. At least hit some home runs at Coors. Everybody else seems to do that. They've never figured out the pitching situation. They've tried with ground ball pitchers. Now Marquez is out for the year with Tommy John surgery. It's just a complete debacle. I will go out to a couple of games a year at Coors because my kids like going. But more than anything else, they just like taking the pedicab from the train station to the game. That's literally the number one reason why they go. I mean, that might be one vote out of 12,000, but that's it. I go, take my kids in a pedicab, show up for a few innings, and I come home. If I go to a game by myself, I'll sit there and I will watch the whole game. But with my kids, three innings and out. The team absolutely stinks, and you know that. Here he is, Brett Astaire, Run Pure Bets. Absolutely love this man. Finally got a chance to meet him in person. He's a lot taller than you think he might be. Probably played some basketball back in the day. My friend, how are things going? This is your time of year, NBA playoffs, huh?
Yeah, it's going great. We continue to be successful there over at Run Pure Bets and RunPureSports.com with the NBA playoffs. We've been winning. We're off to a great start this month, and it's been a little tougher to navigate than usual with these injuries, right? Didn't expect so many players to be in and out. We were guessing about Embiid. We were guessing about Butler. We got a pretty good idea of Chris Paul, but the way things are going, I mean, who would be shocked if something switched in that situation? But we've been doing good, and I'd say that I know it's a drag, and I know it's a grind, and it can frustrate us sometimes too. But navigating that regular season with all the injuries has us prepared to do this for the NBA playoffs.
All right, so this is what I've noticed from the regular season. Just because big guys are out, big names are out, the rest of the team steps up quite often and they end up winning games. Now, as far as Paul goes, he might play, but he's old and he's got a groin injury. So I'm not very worried about him. What's your thoughts on a possible Chris Paulus Suns, and what is the major impact there on Phoenix?
The major impact will be on the offensive end. At this point, Paul is no longer the defensive player he once was. He's actually getting attacked in matchups because he's the slowest player on the court quite often there for the Phoenix Suns. But where they're going to miss him is on the offensive end. I think if you're DeAndre Ayton, this is a huge loss because he was the one the most interested in getting you involved in the offensive end. We've already seen Ayton's effort level kind of wax and wane with his ability to get shots. When he's getting ignored on the offensive end, he doesn't try as hard on the defensive end. That's going to be something that Monty Williams is going to have to navigate. So that they're going to miss him there on the offensive end. The other place that they're going to miss him is controlling the tempo at the end of a game.
Yes.
That's one thing you have to give Chris Paul credit for. He knows when to speed up and he knows when to slow down. You rarely see the Suns making the incorrect decision when it comes to clock management, whether trying to make a fourth quarter comeback or holding on to a fourth quarter lead. To be fair, I think they can absorb this loss fairly well, though, by having Kevin Durant become the primary ball handler more often. And that's why when the KD trade was made, teams were so excited about it, or people were so excited about this team because of the versatility he provides. Not many 7-footers can take over and do that same thing, but I do believe Durant can do it. Now, we'll see a lot more campaign out there. I think that he can provide close to the same thing. And normally I would say the Suns are going to miss the Paul a lot on the offensive end, but more Durant and no book more Booker is never a bad thing for that Phoenix Suns offense. So overall, I do think it's obviously a loss, and the Suns don't have depth. I think on a different team, it might not be as bad as we think, but because the Suns have already struggled with depth so far this season, of course, giving up three major pieces to acquire Durant, it could be an issue here down the stretch. I know I'm kind of going back and forth on the
It's
answer
okay.
here, Holden, but overall, I don't know. Like, for example, if he's ruled in tonight, I don't really think that this line moves more than 1 point. So I'd say he's worth 1 point to the spread right now.
So here's my bet. I don't like the side pregame. I'll bet it live. KD over his points. I mean, KD could get to 30 tonight pretty easily, right? He went 10 of 27, had 24 points. A lot more of the onus is going to be on him. Even if Paul plays, he's got to be better. So I like Paul over his points, and I like the Nuggets over their team total because if the Suns want to go deeper into their bench, they have a couple black holes defensively. So, first of all, thoughts on a total in this game? I think 224 and a half. And then I'll ask you when you're done with the total. I'll get into the other questions. So start with the total, would you?
All right. Originally here, I'm leaning towards the under in this game. I'm not
Really?
as optimistic about Denver in this game as you are. I still do like Denver to win this series. But I think we're going to see the best of Phoenix tonight or tomorrow night. I'm not sure when this is getting released, but
This will be out Thursday. It'll be some people will listen Friday. And by the way, you said as optimistic. I actually think this is the game that the Suns win,
I
not the
do
Nuggets
too.
pick game four.
I'm not afraid to lay that 3.5 here with Phoenix. I do think we're going to see a lot better effort, and players like Torrey Craig, Josh Okogie, Ish Wainwright, they're going to look a lot better at home. And we haven't seen that Durant Nuke game yet, which is something that I still think is in the repertoire. But we have to be, we have to give credit to Aaron Gordon for the job that he's done on Durant so far. So if that continues, this will be a sweep. But I don't think it continues. I think Phoenix has bounced back. And if they get a big win, which I do see is likely, like we saw last night with Boston and Philadelphia, it's really hard for a game to go over in a blowout because the pace slows down, you get more bench minutes, and then, of course, those last 2 minutes you can kind of just throw away when it comes to accumulating points. So right now I like the Suns and I like the under. But, hey, that's subject to change. Let's see how everything plays out. And I'm not necessarily like in love with this play. If I only had to play one, I think I'd like the Suns side better than the total, however.
So if you like the under in this game, you can't like Durant over, can you?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay. What do you think of Durant's points prop, 28 and a half?
I think it completely correlates with that minus 3.5. If the Suns are going to win, he's going to have to go off, right? Devin Booker's been incredible. Devin Booker has taken the keys to this offense, but a lot of that, right, is that he doesn't have to go against Aaron Gordon. He's not getting the best defender. Durant is getting the best defender, which is, and Booker is able to beat these guys in the half-court setting. But they're going to need both. They're going to need both. They gave up too much depth. They gave up too much defense to just be still reliant on Devin Booker. So, yeah, I do like Durant over there. I think it correlates with the minus 3.5, and I think that he can easily go over his point prop total, even if the game goes under.
Okay, we disagree, but you have been very, very thorough with this. So absolutely respect your opinion, and I hope you're wrong. With that being said, my friend, let's get into the MVP. Embiid over the Joker. Did the voters get it right?
No, I don't think
really?
So. I mean, if Joker wasn't two-time MVP, do you think that Embiid would have won? I personally do not.
No.
I think that there was some voter fatigue there. We know that voter fatigue is a real thing. This is Joker's best season statistically. You watch him out there, right? I mean, everyone talks about Kevin Durant, right, and his place. I mean, top 10, top 20 player of all time. Joker's been the best player on the floor in the series.
I don't think it's been close. I don't even think it's been close.
Yeah. And, of course, I don't want to take away from Joel Embiid. And this is what I hate about what the MVP discussion has become. It reminds me of our political discussion now. Rather than talk about your candidates' great things, it feels like it's just a rush to tear down the opponent. And I don't want to do that. And I don't think that, you know, I'm fine with Embiid winning it. You know, but it felt like it's like a body of work. MVP. It just really seems hard to me that you could watch the games this year and then come to the conclusion, right, that the Jokic didn't deserve it. I think that a lot of the past went into it. I think if Embiid had won two in a row, right, Jokic would have won this year.
Yes.
That's just the way that it goes. We talked about it too, I believe, on this podcast. Really disappointed in Embiid's decision to sit out in Denver, and I was surprised that wasn't held against him more. So I believe that Jokic was the MVP once again. The advanced statistics believe that. But, hey, at the end of the day, Joel Embiid's a great player. And, you know, with the way that he's played the last three seasons, the fact that, you know, Jokic got two and Embiid got one, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. And, you know, when we look back 10 or 15 years from now, I think we'll be fine with him getting it. But in my mind, I think Jokic should have won this year.
Yep, I think so. Now, listen, at the beginning of the year, I said, do not bet the Joker to win the MVP. I suckered myself. Once he got to plus money, I suckered myself. And I did put a little bit of coin on the Joker to win, which I'm kind of upset at myself because I just didn't listen to myself. But there was no question now, when it's all said and done, the voters were going to give him three straight. They just weren't. And I think it's as simple as that. And Embiid missed 16 games this season. I think that's a ton of games to miss, but I have no problem with him winning. You know, he's been wanting this for 2 years. He gets it in year number three. Giannis has his back-to-back. Maybe Embiid gets his back-to-back, but I think if Embiid does what he did this year and then Giannis or Jokic did what they do this year, Embiid's not winning back-to-back. And maybe somebody else steps up. We saw SGA in top five, didn't we?
Yep. We got to be careful of those, right? Because John Morant was in the top five the year before.
Yeah, he's kind of he was a ding-dong, though. I mean, come on with the guns. Give me a break.
Yeah, I would think it would be more of a guy that has had consistent success, and the one I'm thinking of is Jason Tatum, right? Because he's consistently getting these playoff wins as well. And I know that we're not supposed to factor this into it. It's supposed to be the regular season award. But I think the previous year's playoff success can be a tiebreaker in some people's minds. So, for example, if the Nuggets win it all this year, I think that's going to strengthen Jokic's case next year. As silly as that sounds.
So last thing for you, this Lakers-Warriors series, and you're a Warriors guy. You're up there in what, Sacramento?
Yeah, I live in Sacramento.
Maybe you like the Kings. Yeah,
Kings are my favorite team.
So the Warriors are right up there, though. Maybe not your favorite, right up there. How's this series playing out? Because it is an absolute battle, and we've got two of the best players of all time. I love this with LeBron, who's not the same guy, and then Steph Curry, who seems like he's as good as ever. Anthony Davis is playing as well as he can play. I'm still waiting for his arm to fall off or his head to fall off. I feel like that's going to happen sooner than later. But, you know, we've got some great players in this series. Are the Lakers going to win this and possibly make a run to the finals again?
Right now, I do lean the Lakers to beat the Warriors. Unfortunately, I like the Warriors before the series started, however, so I'm not ready to jump off yet. But there was a couple things that I saw in game one that really flustered me. In my original breakdown of the series, I thought that Looney would be able to provide some sort of obstacle to Anthony Davis doing whatever he wants. That didn't come true. And the second thing that's really bothering me about this Warriors team is these reports coming out of Jonathan Kuminga not being all bought in, Jordan Poole getting frustrated with his minutes. Could be some issues there simmering underneath, and we know that Poole, right, with the Draymond incident, it's kind of put a shadow over their whole season. Maybe, and I would hate for this to be true because I'm rooting for the Warriors regardless, but maybe that punch, right, is still reverberating in the locker room, and maybe that doomed their season here as we see Poole and Kuminga. It's one thing to be upset with your role, but they're doing it publicly. That's really a rough sign for a team that should be coming together, a team that originally, you know, ran its first title with the theory of strength in numbers, right? I mean, that was their slogan. That was on the T-shirts. That was what they preached. And it feels like they're getting a little bit away from that. Now, that being said, I think the Warriors -7 tonight is a great bet. I expect they'll bounce back at home. Home teams losing game one have now won 15 straight up. So the other thing that we've noticed in this playoffs is the winning team is the team that covers. So my point is, not a lot of underdogs are covering in a loss. If the +7 hits, they're usually winning straight up. So because of that, I do like the Warriors. I think they run away with it. We saw this in Memphis game 2. We saw this in Memphis game 5. Darvin Ham knows that his star player, LeBron James, is 38 years old, and he's going to pull the plug if things aren't going well. And if he pulls the plug, they're still going home 1-1. That's a win. They've retaken home court. The Warriors have not been good on the road this year, although they did look a little better against Sacramento. However, Sacramento was such a better matchup for them, as in they play the same style of ball that the Warriors do, right? They play quick. They're not physical. They're not going to beat you inside, right? They rely on shooting. They play Mike Brown installed close to the same motion offense for Fox, Herter, Monk, and Sabonis. So now you're playing a Lakers team that this team's got size. They can hurt you. And if Anthony Davis is going to play like this, it's a tough task for the Golden State Warriors. I'll still take the Warriors to win the series. I put a little bit on them at +140 right now to win the series. My idea there is if it gets there, game 7 is going to be in Chase. That's been a huge home court advantage for the Warriors so far. And I'll tell you what, I know that the Lakers looked pretty good in game 1, but I think we'll feel a little differently tonight when the Warriors steamroll this game.
All right, my friend, plug everything you're doing, please.
All right. RunPureSports.com is the place to find me. One of the things I'm really proud about that we've done over there this year is that, you know, if you're following Holden, you're aware of what we do at Run Pure Sports. You know that they have a daily fantasy playbook. That's kind of how we made our names, was these playbooks and the ideas. It's a page you can go to, get the information you need. And in daily fantasy, that's going to lead you to the players. For us, for the NBA, for the betting playbook, we like to do sides and totals is what I do projections for. And then Tyler and I go through and we identify the best props. We have the minus 110 props or the normal props. And we also like to throw in some performance doubles, right? Some home run swings on every single game. So depending on how you're feeling, you can approach that. But we're really proud of that. That's something that we started this year. And it's been a rousing success, Holden. We're up over 40 units on the year. So if you just are a member of Run Pure Sports, you go to the NBA playbook and you bet the plays that we put an RPB tag next to on every game, side or total, you're up over 40 units on the year. It's been fantastic. I'm also giving out some player prop picks over at Bookmakers Review, so check my timeline for that at Spread Astaire. But really, I really couldn't encourage you more to check out what we got going on over at RunPureSports.com. And if you're ready to join in the winning, the promo code SPREAD15 will get you 15% off your first month membership.
Oh, great stuff, Spread. Thank you so much for the time. Thanks so much to Melissa, Terry, and Adam behind the scenes making this podcast possible. And thanks a lot for checking out the Denver City Cast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver City Cast on the Bet Rivers Network.